Appreciate the good singing this morning. Something on your heart this morning before we change the course of the service. Once again, we want to welcome you here this morning. We ask you to follow the Spirit of the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here and lost and God deals with you, we want you to feel at liberty. We want you to feel freedom to seek the Lord, whether it's in your seat or here at this altar. And we desire that you might be saved. I want to ask this morning, first and foremost, a question that I thought a large amount about this week. And it's going to take some participation from you all. Those of you that would like to see the church grow in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord and His satisfaction, which is the head of this church, would you please stand this morning? For those of you that would like to see the church grow in a way that's pleasing unto the head of this body, would you please stand? You may be seated. That's the mentality that we all should have. As the growth of the Lord's church and His kingdom, that it might grow and that it might prosper. No doubt we've preached here before that He commissioned the church that the message might go out. And He has enabled the church. He has given her everything that she needs to be able to accomplish this. Not only did He send His comforter when He spoke about over there in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, but He said that He must go away, but He would not leave us alone, that He would send us a comforter. And I'm thankful for that this morning. We know that we don't have Christ in the flesh, that He laid down His life for us, but we know that we have the Spirit of God. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And not only has He left us with His Spirit, which can be everywhere all at one time, not only can it be here at Fairview Memorial this morning, but it can be with every other sister church. It can be halfway across the country, in any part of the world today that God sees fit. And I'm thankful for that. And not only that, do we have His truth, we have His Word. So this morning, I'm thankful for that. He has given us everything this morning that we need, that we might be able to prosper and to grow. So this morning, as we begin to think about those things, what is it this morning? No doubt that God can use us that we might be able to achieve these goals. And our thought really this morning pertains to a thought that I've had all week, is to be an encouragement, not a discouragement. And I could not get away from this thought this week, and the Lord has helped us with it. And I know Brother Mike spoke a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. And there is a right sense of encouragement. And then on the same hand, there is a sense of encouragement in the wrong aspects of what we're doing and what we're saying. And this morning, I want you to understand that God, I believe in all of our heart, wants us to be an encouragement, not a discouragement. But encourage in the way that God would have us to encourage that lines up with His Word. That's what's important this morning. To be an encouragement that might line up with His Word and the way that God would have it, the way that He would see fit, that it might bring forth what is pleasing unto Him. And this morning, as we began to think about that, I thought a lot about the encouragement that I've had. Along the years, I've thought about the encouragement that I've had in a sense of being a preacher and just getting started. I've thought about the encouragement that my family has given me. And then on the same hand, I've thought about all of the discouragement that I've had through the years. I've thought about all the things that people have said about me and done things that they might hinder the work that God has given me, that they might be a discouragement to me this morning. And if I don't get anything else across to you this morning, I want you to know, and I believe in all of my heart, that God has called us out to be an encouragement to people this morning. To be an encouragement to our young people. I remember when I first started coming here, there was lots of folks that said, boy, we really want to see the young people grow. We want to see our youth grow. We want to see young people in the house of the Lord. And listen to me this morning. That's essential for growth in the Lord's church, is for young people to be there and to be interested. But my friend, this morning, when they get here and they're coming, encourage them. Encourage them to be involved and to stay in the Word of God. Encourage them by standing up and testifying to the goodness that God has placed in your life and the things that He has done for you. Listen, God has been a great help to us, and He has done things for us throughout our lives. And yet, my friend, this morning, just as that song we've sang, we can't even walk without His holding our hand. Listen to me this morning. If you know what it is to have experienced that, if you know the mountains that God has removed for you in your life, I'm not talking about He's just eased them along out of the way, but my friend, God has reached down and removed mountains out of your way. If you've had those experiences, when God gives you the opportunity this morning to speak upon those experiences, know that God will help you, and that can be an encouragement this morning to someone else. There's too much discouragement going on in the world today. There's too much. And my friend, this morning, when we enter in through those doors, this should be a place of encouragement. To listen, to go out into the world and to know what's going to be faced, but yet encourage them and encourage one another to stand strong in the Lord. It should be a place of encouragement. This morning, I want to look over, with the Lord being our help, I want to look over in Ecclesiastes this morning. To be an encouragement, not a discouragement. Very familiar scripture to you this morning for those of you who have been in your book and studied this morning. I don't bring anything new to you. But I do want to look at what thus saith the preacher here. I want to look in the second chapter for just a moment, and then we'll be going to the 12th chapter. Do pray for us this morning. He says in the second and the start and the third verse, he says, I saw it in mine heart to give myself unto wine, and yet acquainting not my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good, that was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. And I made great works, and I builded me houses, and I planted me vineyards, and I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them all kind of fruits, and I made me pools of water, and to water therein the wood that bringeth forth trees. And I got me servants and maid servants, and servants both in my house. And also I made great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. And I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings and of princes. And I got me men singers and women singers and the lights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that all of sorts. As so as I was great in the increase, more than all that were before me in Jerusalem, and also my wisdom remaineth with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of my labor. And then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all that was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I want to go over here in the 12th chapter, if you'll mind me just a few moments here. In the 12th chapter, and I'll skip around for just a moment in time. In the first verse, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shouldst say, I have no pleasure in them." And then I want to go on down here, if you would, in the 13th verse and the 14th verse, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And this morning I want to look at these scriptures with the Lord being our help and the mistakes that we've made. I began to think a lot about Solomon and no doubt how he had the Lord had given him wisdom and understanding because no doubt he had asked those things of the Lord, and no doubt he was a wise man, and the Lord had endued him with wisdom, and he was a great studied man. And throughout all of these things, he began to proclaim all the things that he had acquired, and he said, "Vanities of vanity." He more or less said, "Listen, it's all meaningless." He said, "I've experienced every bit of it." He said, no doubt he talked about all the things that he had acquired. He said, "I have done many great works." He said, "I've built me houses and planted me vineyards." He said, "I've experienced everything that this world has to offer. I've done it all. I've had the wealth. I've got to experience everything that there is to experience. But in the nature of it all, it's all meaningless." And this morning, in the basis of it all, he said, "For the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep His commandments." And this morning, that is what my earnest desire is for you this morning, for those that are young and coming up. And boy, I tell you this morning, I feel a sense of responsibility, maybe like I've never felt before. There's young people that's coming, and there's new people that's coming. And boy, I'm thankful for that this morning, and that's what God is doing. It's not because of anything that I've done this morning, but I want you to know with that means a responsibility, church, that we are to raise them up and to teach them the ways of God. There's an understanding out in the world today, and I want you to understand that I don't have a bit of problem with education. I don't consider myself a very learned man. I'm trying to learn, but I don't understand. I've got to, when I want to learn what the meaning of a word is, I've got to get down in the Hebrew and the Greek and learn what those words mean, and I'll encourage you to do the same. But I don't have a college education or any of that, and honey, all of that stuff is good. There ain't a thing wrong in the world with going out and achieving a good education. Listen, we need doctors, and we need people that's able to comprehend science and know what protons and atoms and know what molecules and all of these things are. We need people that know those things. We need them. But honey, when it all boils down to it, what I want and desire for you more than anything is to know and have a relationship with God. Know and have a relationship with the Lord. Solomon said, "I have experienced it all." There ain't a thing in the world that's wrong with having wealth and having money and understanding where those things come from. There ain't a thing wrong with them. Understanding what God gives. Where much is given, much is required. He gives you an abundance of things. My friend, go out and be willing to share those things. But understand this morning, young person, that all of those things will burn up one day after a while. All of those things, Solomon had went through his years and experienced them all, and he said, it's all vanity. He said, if I can sum it all up, he said, I've wrote 12 chapters to you, and all of it is good, but he said, if I can sum it all up for you, he said, the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, let me sum it all up, is to fear God and keep His commands. This morning, as I began to think about that, I began to think about our young people and being an encouragement to them. I began to think about those down through the years that have been an encouragement and a help to me. I'm talking about family. I'm talking about those that have got in with me and sat down with me and tried to help me along. And honey, when I was in the wrong, they told me I was in the wrong. But they'd done it in a way of love. They'd done it in a way that I would receive it and that I'd love them for it. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Listen, you can do all that you can to try to help somebody, but honey, if you don't go to them in the right spirit, they won't hear you. You got to go to them in the right way, in the right manner, in the way it's pleasing unto God, and then they'll hear you. Go down to them and say, I want to help you. If you'll let me, I want to try to help you just a little bit. Would you look here what the Bible says? Let's sit down and talk about this for a minute. I'm thankful for people in my life like that. They wanted to help me along. I don't consider myself I've come very far, but boy, I'm thankful for them. Listen to me this morning. We're raising up a younger generation. I've heard people say, don't fall out with me this morning. I've heard people say they're the church of tomorrow. And bless your heart, they are the church of tomorrow. But they're also the church of today. They're also the church of today. You want to see a church get on fire? Y'all remember back in our revival, we had two or three young people stand up. And they testified and they said, I just want to thank God for saving my little old soul. Boy, that blessed me. You let the young people start praying for their little friends. You let the young people start encouraging their little friends to get saved. You let the young people start talking about what God's planted in their heart. And honey, you'll start to see things move. Young people, I remember back years ago, and I'm not building myself up. When I was in my teenage years, I was coming through up over at Hilltop. That's where I spent a lot of my teenage years. I invited a friend of mine to come with me. He was older than I was. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of us was kind of scared of him. He was a great big boy. I noticed while the preaching was going on, he had great big old tears that was falling off his eyes. And I tell you, my heart was sitting there pounding 90 miles an hour just to look over at him and say, are you all right? And I'll be honest with you, I sat back on the Lord. And we stood up and had a Christian handshake, and as he come around and shook my hand, I looked over at him and I said, don't you want to go? I said, don't you want to go? You know what happened? It wasn't nothing I done. The Holy Spirit come in and melted him right there. Just a big a man as you've ever seen in your life. He had hands that swallowed my hands. And honey, God come in and melted him right there in that altar. And he sought God out for the salvation of his soul. I had a desire to want to see my friends saved. Listen to me, young person. There ain't a thing in the world wrong going out and achieving the things of this world as long as you walk close to God. As long as you've got Him by your side, there ain't a thing in the world wrong with it. But I want you to know this, that everything that you achieve and as far as everything that the material possessions that you own, it'll all burn up one day after a while. I began to think about, I'll tell you what really got me my thoughts this week. We call him Baby Brylin. I'll get on into my message here in a minute. Y'all bear with me. We call him Baby Brylin. Some of y'all have held him around here. None of our boys have ever crawled. None of them. They've all scooted across the ground or pulled themselves on their bellies or something of that nature. And then all at one time, before you even realize it, they're up and walking. Now, if you can't imagine how crazy it is in our house with two little boys under just now the age of 7 and another little fella that's about 16, 17 months old, and now to add on that, we got a puppy in the house. It's something all the time going on. And Jessica said, Casey, she said, I've been trying to get the boy to walk for the last 3 or 4 months, working with him, trying to hold his little hand. All of us have been. And she said, Casey, you know, just as soon as he stands up to walk, he's going to be in everything that there is. Y'all mamas and daddies know what I'm talking about this morning. They're into everything. They're in the trash can. They're in the drawers pulling stuff out. They're in everything. And I'm sitting back thinking, Lord, it's going to be a mess. But in all of that, I want that little feller to walk. I want to take a hold of his little hands and I want to teach him how to walk so that he can learn to take steps by himself. Because, honey, there's going to come a day when daddy ain't going to be around. We're teaching them how to walk from a little bitty age. We're teaching them. We're taking hold of their little hands. And we're teaching them how to walk. And it starts out slow. They're into everything. They're making a mess of everything. They're falling. They're getting hurt. They're standing up. They're falling again. They're bumping their heads. You got to watch the rock fireplace. You got to watch everything that they're around. As they get older, they're coming in, they got scrapes on their knees. They got everything else that you can imagine. And I ain't trying to make this a sermon about my little boy this morning. I'm trying to paint you a picture of what God showed me this week. I could merely just sit back and say, well, he's going to learn to walk whenever he gets good and ready to. Or I can encourage him. When he makes little strides, I get behind him. That's a good job, Brylin. That's a good job. When he thinks something's funny, well, I laugh right with him. And I'm not knocking on his mama. I know what she's saying. She's saying, Casey, he's going to be into everything. And boy, that responsibility that comes upon you, it's heavy. But that's part of being mature and helping raise up, helping to exhort these younger Christians. Listen to me this morning. When I think back and I look in the scripture, we look at Joseph over there and how that his brothers didn't want anything to do with him. They tried to kill him, throw him off in a pit. Everything that it was, all because of the dreams that he had. They wouldn't get behind him. Joseph walked according to what the Lord would have for him, and he did those things. And God ended up blessing him for that. We look at Jeremiah and he said, Lord, I'm but a child. He said, I'm unable to fulfill this. And God said, I knew you even from your mother's belly. He said, Jeremiah, I knew that you was capable for this. He said, Red, I wouldn't have called you to be a prophet. He said, I know what you're capable of doing. When we look over there at little David, and no, listen, the whole army of Israel stood back and they said, boy, we're not going to go out and fight this Philistine. The whole army of Israel. I'm talking about trained military men. Said that we're not going to go out and fight this Goliath. We're not going to go out and fight this man. And you know what? His brother tried to discourage him from that. But little David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Listen to me this morning. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I want to look over in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. And then I'll go over to my reading. Fourth chapter of the book of Acts, 36th verse. It says, and Joses, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and a country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's the first introduction that we can have to a man named Barnabas. And to be quite honest with you, there's not a whole lot that's been that I can ever recall that's been spoke or preached about the man. But I'll tell you, when we look at what his name meant, it meant the son of encouragement. That's what it meant. He was the son of encouragement. And he had a great saying about him. That was his nickname, if you will. They called him the son of encouragement because of his character and his disposition and the way that he presented himself. He was the son of encouragement. He had so much he had so much confidence. And what those apostles was doing, he sold his land over there in Cyprus and he brought that money and he laid it at their feet. Some time goes on here and I'll read this over here and I'll try to be done. We all know the story of the Apostle Paul. How great of a ministry he done, how he was a chosen vessel to go into the Gentiles. But he said this. I want to read this. He says, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But there was a laying await known of Saul, that they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come unto Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. This Barnabas, as Apostle Paul came forth and he is gathered here unto this church here at Jerusalem, and no doubt these disciples and these apostles gathered around, they said, is this not the one that sought out our life? Is this not the one that sought out to kill us? And Barnabas said, listen, I've heard him preach. I've heard him speak. I've heard him declare unto the God that we know. I've heard him. I know that he's sound. He said, I'll present him to you. He said, I'll get behind him. And yet he encouraged them and he encouraged Paul. And we know here that the scripture teaches us that they went on preaching and teaching the word of God. He got behind him. He was the son of encouragement. I want to say this. Now, there's a misunderstanding a lot of times, and I want to tell our young people this. And really, I don't know. I guess I kind of know where this originated from, but anyway. I want you to know this morning that I want to be an encouragement to you, and I want to be a help to you. I want to encourage you most of all, just as what the preacher said over there. He said, remember the Creator in thy youth. He said, why are you still young? Listen this morning, if there's anything I could ever encourage you to more than anything, is to seek the Lord while you're young and at a tender age. Seek the Lord while your heart is tender. But I want to say this. There's a misunderstanding and a representation that being a Christian, being a child of God, should be easy. And I'm not saying this morning that I'm trying to discourage you in any way. But I want to say this. There's plenty of examples throughout the Scripture that teaches us that it's not easy. It can be difficult at times. People say all the time, well, the Lord won't lay nothing on you more than you can bear. You ever heard people say that? Well, let me read to you exactly what it says. And then I'm going to close. 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, I want to say this. In the 13th verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But as God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. It doesn't say that God won't place more on you than you can bear. That's not what it says. What it says is He will not allow you to be tempted above what you can bear. And in that temptation, He will be there with you. He will help you. But I want you to understand this morning that you may have to bear a whole lot. There may be people that come upon you that will discourage you. There will be people that will try to hinder your work for the Lord. There will be people that try to bring you down. And I'm not necessarily talking about the people that's out there in the world. That's not what I'm necessarily talking about. There's going to be people that are your friends, that are your family. There's going to be people that are your classmates. There's going to be people that may even be in the church, bless your heart, that will try to discourage you. But know in those moments of discouragement that God will be there to help you. As we sang those songs that I can't even walk without you holding my hand. My friend, this morning, He is the only way that we're able as God's people to get up and to walk. Young person, I want you to understand. I was in high school. I was voted most friendliest in school. Y'all probably don't know this, but you're looking at a former prom king. Y'all think I'm probably kidding with you this morning, but somehow they found me worthy to be a prom. And I thought, man, that's the neatest thing. I had the biggest bunch of friends you've ever seen when I left school. Fast forward almost 20 years. You know how many of those friends I'm in touch with today? Very little. Do you know who I'm in touch with most now? The Lord and His church. I've got a few friends that I can call along the way that would be there if I needed them. You ever heard somebody say that? I've got a friend, if I picked up the phone right now, he'd be there just like that. You ever heard people say that? I've got a friend. If I get down on my knees and make a phone call to him, he's there right then. He'll help us. He's our very present help in trouble. This morning, realize that the world wants to tear everything down. Don't be a discouragement this morning. Be an encouragement. Be an encouragement. If the only thing that you've got to encourage them about is what God has done for you, then encourage them with what God has done for you. I remember a time and think about those things when I was a boy and sitting around the old church and can remember the testifying and people standing up and praising God. Boy, that's still an encouragement to me today. And it can be that way again. That's our message this morning. I pray it's a help to you. Be an encouragement, not a discouragement. The world's got enough of discouragement as it is. Let's encourage one another. Let's encourage one another in the way that's pleasing unto the Lord. I'm not saying you got to get behind everything it ain't fitting to get behind. But I'm saying encourage one another. Be a help to one another. Brother Stroll, if you would, get us a song. Is there something on your heart this morning that needs to be said or done? Anything? Anything. Go ahead, brother.
Number 228 in the Heavenly Highway hymn, if we'll follow the footsteps of Jesus, we'll be an encourager, will we not? Verses 1 and 2. 1 and 2. 228.